three men running for the state legislature are seeking much more than your votes. They want retribution. They're suing the state, or at least considering it, to clear their names even as they gear up for campaign season. And they insist their cases will have no impact on their capacity to do the job of elected officials should the voters send them to the Capitol. The Breakdown presents Behind the Ballot, sponsored by Petition Partners. No campaign is too big or too small, too left or too right to be done by the best. I'm your host, Katie Campbell, and I'm joined today by Senate reporter Ben Giles. Ben, welcome to your Behind the Ballot debut.
Happy to be here.
So let's set the scene, starting with Legislative District 23 Senate candidate Tim Jeffries and Legislative District 20 Senate candidate Charles Loftus. Remind our listeners who they are and why they made headlines not so long ago.
Well, everyone probably remembers Tim Jeffries most as, of course, the former agency head at the Department of Economic Security. He was appointed by Governor Doug Ducey shortly after Ducey took office in 2014. And his 21-month tenure at DES ended in kind of spectacular fashion when he and some of his top deputies were walked out of the building one day in November 2016. Jeffries was, depending on how you want to put it, either fired or forced to resign. His top deputies were fired, and one of those is Mr. Charles Loftus, who's running for the Senate in LD20. And there was a mess of a report done by the Department of Public Safety that followed their tenure at DES, which specifically looked into sort of a cache, if you will, of weapons and ammunition that were being amassed at the agency that public safety officials found was unnecessary and was managed negligently. And that's why we have a lawsuit that Jeffries and Loftus jointly filed against the state of Arizona.
So to be clear, they disagreed with the way they were characterized in that report.
100%, yes. They felt that the report was wholly inaccurate, and they've argued in their court filing that there was malicious intent behind the report. Behind that is a claim that they were investigating fraud and waste in state government, particularly as it relates to a contract that DES had with a third party. And they are arguing that they were silenced in their efforts to try and expose that wasteful contract. And the silencing came via this audit and their firings.
All right, then. And the third candidate we'll be talking about may be more fresh in listeners' minds. Don Shooter was expelled by his colleagues in the State House of Representatives just this year after an investigation found he had sexually harassed multiple women. 6 months later, he's trying to make a dramatic comeback. Now, it's my understanding he has not yet filed his own lawsuit, but he has alleged ulterior motives for his expulsion. What does he have to say about that?
Well, as Shooter told me last week, he feels that he's sort of a kindred spirit to Loftus and Jeffries, yet another person who was ousted from state government, not an agency like the Department of Economic Security, but the state legislature, as you mentioned. Shooter's fellow representatives ousted him in February, 54 votes, I believe, to kick him out of the legislature. And he's argued that it actually had nothing to do with his behavior, but that it had everything to do with him quietly and diligently trying to expose government waste, again, in procurement practices, as he's put it, and that Kirk Adams, the chief of staff to Governor Doug Ducey, was the mastermind behind Shooter's expulsion, so as to, again, like Jeffries and Loftus, silence former Representative Shooter and make sure that his efforts to expose fraud weren't going to come to public light.
So you've mentioned corrupt procurement practices in both cases, and Don Shooter himself pointed this out to you when you had the chance to speak with him. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, all three lawsuits are the results of corrupt procurement practices being foisted on the people. So that's your angle. It's not like, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. All three of them are trying to tell you the same thing. Why do you think that is? Maybe that's a question for you or the readers.
So Shooter told me, quote, all three lawsuits, and a quick side note there, he has not yet filed a lawsuit. So there's really two joint lawsuits right now. But Shooter said, All three lawsuits are the result of corrupt procurement practices being foisted on the people. That's your angle. All three of them are trying to tell you the same thing. Why do you think that is?
Why that is will have to be for a court to decide, it sounds like. But Ben, has this ever happened before? Have we ever had candidates running for office while also suing the state?
So as far as I could tell, we've never had a candidate, let alone three in the same cycle, who are suing the state of Arizona while running to represent it at the same time. We spoke with campaign consultant Kyle Moyer, who's been working in the state for more than two decades, and he can't recall a time when, as I said, even one candidate fit this description. So this is a wholly unique circumstance we have, and it's even more interesting compounded by the fact that they're all running not even just for the legislature generally, but for the state Senate. And certainly there are potential implications for this on the campaign trail. And if any of the three were to be elected, potential for some extreme awkwardness come January 2019, when they've got to start working not just amongst their fellow legislators, but with the governor's office, where Chief of Staff Kirk Adams works. And Adams has been personally named in these lawsuits as sort of the grandmaster of these conspiracies, they're claiming. And of course, with Shooter in particular, there's also plenty of opportunity for awkwardness directly with his possible fellow senators. Shooter, in addition to Adams, has specifically called out House Speaker J.D. Mesnard, who is termed out of the House and thus running for the Senate. That's a pretty likely chance that he'll be a senator next year and would have to be a co-worker with Don Shooter again if he were elected, as well as State Representative Michelle Ugenti-Rita, who's running for the Senate in LD23, coincidentally against Tim Jeffries. Jeffries, on his campaign website, has singled her out as his primary opponent in the election this fall. So there's just all sorts of weird wrinkles to the relationships that these people have, the campaigns that they're running, and just the potential for an awkward and perhaps even just straight up hostile work environment in the state Senate, depending on who gets elected and who's serving next January.
And just to remind folks listening, Michelle Ugenti-Rita is important in this case because she was one of the women who accused then Representative Don Shooter of sexual harassment, and some of her claims were found to be quote unquote credible by the investigative report. But Ben, this isn't about whether Don Shooter's former colleagues want to see him back at the legislature or Tim Jeffries or Charles Loftus. This is about whether the voters are going to care about any of what we're talking about right now. What do you think the likelihood is of that?
Well, if you ask campaign consultants and you ask the candidates themselves, they think that voters won't care much at all. These are admittedly kind of inside baseball issues, a lawsuit about procurement practices. In the case of Jeffries and Loftus, it's actually a defamation lawsuit because they're claiming that the state just tried to silence them, you know, via this libelous report they're claiming. And whether or not that resonates with voters will probably depend on just how much press attention those lawsuits get, and perhaps, you know, how much their candidates make hay of it. But we spoke with Charles Loftus over the phone, and he said that he really hasn't heard much from the voters in his district. He's only really heard from candidates who are sort of friendly to his cause.
At first, I thought it might be a burden, especially with the conservatives. But when I explained the detail of the circumstances and the reason that we are fighting this, I've turned it into a little bit of positive momentum for me. I have been asked only about two or three times, and I'm asked more actually by other candidates, saying, how's that going for you? And my simple answer is, the state's not providing the truth, and they're hiding. And the only way that we can get this information out is through subpoena.
Loftus told me, quote, "At first I thought it might be a burden, but when I explain in detail out the circumstances and the reason that we are fighting this," this being the lawsuit, quote, "I turned it into a little bit of a positive. I've only been asked about two or three times. I've been asked more by other candidates than by voters." And Loftus went on to explain that, if anything, his case where he's claiming defamation against the state and claiming that that motive for that defamation was to silence his wanting to expose bad procurement practices, He's saying that kind of hews closely to one of the issues that he's trying to make about his campaign, which is exposing waste and fraud in state government. As he puts it, what's more evidence that I'm going to try and weed out waste and fraud in government than the fact that I'm suing this very government for trying to silence me from exposing waste and fraud?
Well, Ben, you and I know as well as anyone else here at the Capitol that campaigns can get really ugly and scandals are bound to come out. And these scandals are already right there on the table for their opponents to attack. We'll talk more about that when we come back right after this break. Now that the summer is heating up, don't forget to register for the hottest political party in town. The Arizona Capitol Times Best of the Capitol Awards Night is on June 26th at the Phoenix Art Museum. Go to azcapitaltimes.com for more information and to register today. That's azcapitoltimes.com. You won't want to miss it. Welcome back to The Breakdown, presenting Behind the Ballot. I'm your host, Katie Campbell, and I'm back with Ben Giles. Ben, we left off talking about how voters might react to candidates seeking their votes at the same time they're taking legal action against the state. While it may be unclear whether voters will ultimately care, who can we expect to bring this up on the campaign trail?
Well, we spoke with campaign consultant Kyle Moyer, and he said if anybody's going to make hay about this, it's likely going to be the Republican opponents that these candidates are running against in the GOP primary in August. For example, in Tim Jeffries' case, he actually has two primary opponents, Kathleen Kennedy, as well as Representative Michelle Ugenti-Rita, who perhaps would use something like a mailer to draw attention to this lawsuit, which I think drawing attention to the lawsuit means that you can draw attention to the underlying report that spurred this lawsuit, the claims that Jeffries was, as the DPS report put it, amassing a stash of weapons at DES. There was a quote in that report where Jeffries was attributed as saying he wanted to create his own personal police force at DES. Now, mind you, these are all the types of accusations in that report that Jeffries and Loftus say are false and are suing over. But still, right now, what you have is an audit by a state agency that finds that these two candidates acted inappropriately while they were at that agency. And that's kind of low-hanging fruit for an opponent like Michelle Ugenti-Rita to use to attack Jeffries, and you know, perhaps for Representative Paul Boyer, who's running for the state Senate against Loftus in LD20, perhaps that's something Boyer might try to bring up against Loftus. You know, and as for Shooter, as we noted in the story, there are plenty of things that you can bring up about Don Shooter to get voters' attention. First and foremost, of course, is the report into his sexually harassing behavior against colleagues and women at the state capitol. And, you know, that, in my mind, is probably the lowest hanging fruit. Whether you get past that into the lawsuit, if and when he files it, we'll just have to wait and see what specific claims he's making in that case, and whether or not there's going to be something there for an opponent like Brent Backus or Drew John, Representative Drew John, who's running for the Senate, to use against Don Shooter on the campaign trail.
Could bringing up the lawsuits against Jeffries, Loftus, and Shooter backfire on their opponents, do you think?
I think going back to what Charles Loftus told me, that depends entirely on what voters think of those lawsuits and the merits of them. Loftus told me that he's been able to explain to anyone that's asked him why he's suing, what he's trying to do. As he told me, he's trying to get the truth out of state government and sort of pry it out of them via this lawsuit. And if a candidate like Loftus is successful in explaining that narrative about the case to a voter, then he could portray himself as sort of this knight in shining armor against injustice and bad procurement practices at the state level. And then for someone like Paul Boyer in that case to try and make a negative about that, that could reflect on Paul Boyer as sort of an enemy of the truth, I suppose. And that is the risk. But At this point, what we do know about these three candidates is in the DPS audit and Shooter's case. It's in the House investigation into his behavior. So those three candidates are going to have a lot of work to do if people bring those questions about their performance and about their behavior up. They're going to have a lot to prove as far as, you know, that's not who I really am, and this lawsuit is trying to get at that.
So we started talking about this a little bit earlier, but all of what you're saying really gets back to the heart of a pretty interesting question. Won't this get weird if any of these guys are elected?
Yeah, I keep thinking of one person in particular when I think about these three men getting elected and helping to run state government, and that's Kirk Adams. Again, the chief of staff for Governor Doug Ducey, who is personally mentioned in the Loftus and Jeffries lawsuit as someone who was trying to silence those two candidates, and someone that Don Shooter has accused of sort of masterminding his ouster from the House. Adams is a key player at the Capitol, as are any of Doug Ducey's high-ranking staff, particularly when it comes to the constitutionally mandated job of the legislature, which is to pass a budget every year. And as Republicans, these three candidates are all running for state legislature as Republicans, they have a role in working very closely with their own leadership and thus with the ninth floor with Ducey's office in crafting that budget. I can only imagine that it would be pretty interesting to have Kirk Adams, Tim Jeffries, and Charles Loftus in the same room talking about how to spend the state's money. We asked Loftus about that, and he urged just professionalism if it gets to that point. Loftus told me, quote, "I don't see how it would interfere with it at all. All we're looking for is the truth." He later added that it's going to be awkward anyways. They fired me. So a pretty blunt assessment of how that situation would play out. But I took it as someone who is hoping for the best in a situation if it does get to that point.
Well, if that is the situation we find ourselves in, Ben, I'm sure you're going to be our own fly on the wall on those wonderfully awkward conversations. And we'll be sure to let all you listeners and the readers of the Arizona Capital Times and Yellow Sheet know what we know, as is our job. Thanks, Ben, for joining us today.
Thank you. And let me know about those weird conversations, everybody.
Oh my gosh, yes. Tell us all about them. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to The Breakdown, presenting Behind the Ballot, sponsored by Petition Partners. No campaign is too big or too small, too left or too right to be done by the best, because your win is their win. Petition Partners will give your campaign the benefit of a hand-picked supervisory team on the ground to monitor circulators, allowing you to see progress in real time and adjust to the unexpected. With Petition Partners, you can rest easy. Visit petitionpartners.com today.